Are you recording right now?
Okay.
One, two,
Two,
three, four,
four,
five.
All right, it's in sync.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to SideQuest, the new SideQuest show of the All Range Mode podcast. Today on the show is myself, Doug, and...
And I'm Joe. Hello.
Today... We're going to be talking about Nintendo, and Joe, what would you like to talk about?
I'm going to be talking about Spider-Man.
All right, let's start the show.
Yee!
Okay, so first up, Nintendo. I've got a lot to talk about Nintendo-wise. First up being the Wii U, I guess. It's been a long time since I've had a Nintendo console of my own. I didn't own a Wii. I totally missed out on that. I missed playing all the good Wii games. I didn't even really have a GameCube for that long. Whoa. I kind of just had one. Well, I had one as like my secondary system. And I played Wind Waker and a couple other games, but then I sold it. I was just really into my PS2 when I was a teenager.
Yeah, you're probably in the right there. Like, I was way behind the curve.
I mean, it was trying to keep GameCube alive. But it just, I don't know, it wasn't my primary system, and I sold it for whatever reason I did back then. Maybe probably to buy an Xbox, honestly.
You didn't miss too much on Wii. There was a couple really solid games, but it was like embarrassing to have friends over to play Wii, you know?
Yeah.
And immediately after I got 360, the Wii started taking like a serious backseat.
I could see that. Well, so, I mean, I've had the PS4 for almost a year now, and I have to say, like, getting the Wii U, I haven't touched my PS4 since. There are a lot of great exclusives out right now. I've been playing Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. I beat that. I replayed Mass Effect 3, and currently I'm just finishing up Wind Waker, which looks amazing and is so much fun. It's been like 10 years. I've completely forgot that game.
It's so awesome. Good. It was amazing.
I bought 3D World. I haven't even opened that yet. Like, I don't see an end in sight to this.
Well, you're in a good spot. I mean, I kind of had the reverse situation where I had Wii U. I was an early adopter. Right. played what I could, but yeah, with as soon as PS4 plugged in, it's maybe I played Mass Effect 3 again on Wii U, but since I got my PS4, it's been pretty much only PS4. I mean, I use the Wii. We bring it into whatever room we want to watch Netflix in, you know, so we don't have to drag the PS4 around.
Well, having had it since launch, though, you've played a lot of those games too, right? Like, you played Tropical Freeze, 3D World, and Wind Waker.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wind Waker was crazy. Like, I tried to tell everyone how nuts it was, you know, doing, switching out items or navigating your map on the gamepad while Link was sailing around on the big screen.
Yeah, I kind of can't play it just on the gamepad, though. Like, I can't go back to not having that feature anymore.
No.
Like, if Sarah wants to watch TV or something, it's just like, yeah, I'm just going to shut it off.
It's understandable.
If I can't have that map, like...
Yeah, having two screens is amazing. Because, yeah, well, I mean, even in the dungeon, you no longer have to go to your menu to switch out your items. Like, you can just swap out items on the fly.
Mm-hmm. So even having the second screen for Mass Effect was awesome. Seeing where the enemies were.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, same thing, being able to switch out your loadout really quick.
It's really great. I mean, the gamepad is awesome. It's just, it's too bad that there's not, you know, it's not more capable hardware to kind of help out with those things.
Well, what games did you get this holiday season for the Wii U? You got Smash Brothers, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
digging on that, like,
I was vibing on it for a little bit. I mean, it's tough to get everyone in the same room to play Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
All those... and I talked about it on the regular show. You know, the key for me in Smash Brothers was, you know, when I got it for GameCube, I could, for the first time, I could see like high res renderings of all my favorite Nintendo characters. You know, so right. getting those trophies was like super important to me. I had to see another 3D model of Fox, you know, or I had to see another 3D model of Link. And then it came out for Wii. The graphics were pretty much the same. I cared even less, but I mean, I played the Wii one quite a bit because I was still at some point living with one of you guys. So we, right. like, we're always playing it. But I mean, now with Smash Brothers for Wii U, it's, I don't have that lived in feeling. Even the new 3D models, they don't look like super HD. So, I mean, I lost a lot of that. I have no reason to, you know, to really try and unlock everything. The game comes with all the maps that I want to play.
Yeah.
You know, I can, if I don't like one of the, like the maps, I can build my own. So I have no ambition to go and play through and unlock all those maps. All the characters that I want are there right out of the box. I mean, if you look at the N64, Smash Brothers, well, maybe I'm going back a little bit too far, but for the GameCube one, I actually really wanted to unlock those characters again because I wanted their trophies. I wanted to see what they look like in 3D, like with high res renderings.
Yeah, you have but to. I mean, work that's kind of the Wii U gone. Version has all the characters unlocked right out of the box.
It has many characters, like Toon Link's there, Link, yeah. obviously. It's just all the ones that you'd want, all the classics, they're already unlocked. There's no need to dig in.
I didn't play the Wii U version, but I have it for 3DS, and it sounds exactly the same. Like, I just, same thing happened to me. I bought it, I played it online a couple times, just got my ass kicked. Everything was unlocked right away, and I don't know. I probably played it for less than an hour.
Yeah.
It didn't hold my interest. But anyway, moving forward, I think there are still good Wii U games. I'm excited to play Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker.
I've heard pretty good things about that.
I like how small the worlds look. It kind of looks like Galaxy. Like, each level is tiny. It's a little world.
Are you biting on any of those Wii re-releases? Mario Galaxy 2, Super Metroid Prime, Trilogy?
I didn't buy any of them Super when they were Metroid on sale, which I know I'm going to regret. I feel like I have so much on my plate still. Right. And Majora's Mask comes out this Friday, so I'm going to be on that. It's just, I mean, I don't see myself not playing Nintendo games until at least the fall.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing for me right now. I'm locked into trophies.
Yeah,
I'm having so much fun trophy hunting in the worst games. but I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's just something about, you know, anytime you play a role-playing game or any game where there's juicing involved, it's like that thrill of working, you know, adding one to your HP, adding one to your fucking whatever it is.
But building up.
Yeah. And the fact that that's the way my trophies work. And, you know, there's something there that, like, it's adding, it's actually recognizing that I'm playing. And I don't mean to bash on Nintendo. But I mean, that's what's stopping me from unlocking everything in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, no, it's understandable. It definitely is lacking, and I'm not saying it's not without its faults or anything. I'm just totally like romanced with the whole thing right now. I'm having a great time. I'm right into it.
Yeah, I it's great.
Okay, so moving on and keeping with Nintendo, I've been really swept up with the whole Amiibo craze. I was really excited when I first heard they were coming out, as I'm sure most Nintendo fans were. I pre-ordered Link and Samus were the two characters I wanted the most. I wasn't concerned with character rarities or anything like that. I just thought, I want to have Link and Samus as toys. I'm going to keep them in the box, you know, as a collector. I like to collect Nintendo memorabilia. And I had no plans to buy a Wii U at that point or ever use the Amiibos. I kind of took a back seat to it until recently with the Wave 3 launch. I just let it go. I had heard, you know, some of them were rare, like Wii Fit Trainer, the Villager, just because, you know, they didn't make a lot of those characters. I'm not the kind of collector who necessarily wants to have every single Amiibo like a lot of people do. I just want to have my favorite characters. But with the Wave 3 release the last couple weeks, it's been crazy, and I've been getting so into it, just trying to find them at stores, I really just wanted Toon Link and Sheik, which today you can go into any store and get them. I was lucky enough the one day, I'll just tell you the story. I was going to Best Buy, Future Shop, and EB Games in the same mall. Nice. Every single morning for like three or four, I think on the fourth or fifth day in a row, I get there before work, and I see this kid with one in his hands. He was a kid. He was probably like 17, and he had a Toon Link. So I ran to the back where the amiibos were. I'm scanning the shelves.
Is that a Phase 3 Toon Link?
I'm scanning the shelves. I don't see anything in his hand, or I don't see anything on the shelves. Before I'd even realized it, he just came up to me and he's like, "You know what, man? You can have it." And he gave it to me. He was like, I don't really like Toon Link. I was just going to buy this because, you know, they're sold out everywhere. But here, go ahead. It's yours. However, I do need to say, though, that later, like 2 hours later, I left on my lunch break and went to Future Shop, and there were Toon Links in stock. So I would have got it anyway if not for him. Yeah. But it did make my morning, so to speak. So for the next couple days, I was doing the same thing. I wanted to find a Sheik, and I had no luck. And I resorted to... I don't know if you knew this, but you can order things from Amazon UK and Amazon Germany to ship to Canada, and amiibos there aren't as in demand as they are here, so I ordered the European version of Sheik. It cost me like $11 more than retail.
Oh my god.
Which, at the, you know, like, I don't know, I was, I just thought, I'm sick of doing this, it's driving me crazy, it's stressing me out. I don't know if Sheik's going to be a rare character. I think she could be. She's not a popular Zelda character. So I ordered it. And of course, 2 days later, I go to all those stores and they have tons of Sheiks in stock.
So what are we talking about here? Like how many characters or how many
There's currently EPCs like, are... Sorry, go ahead and finish what you're going to say.
Yeah, how many per round, per phase here are we seeing?
Of Sheiks? Or just of characters in
general?
No, of
amiibo, total. Like, okay, how many were in the first round? How many in the second?
Wave 3. This is basically wave. What I've been gathering from the forums and the stores. You've got Bowser's the most common. You'll find him in any store. Toon Link and Sheik are pretty close. Like, Toon Link's a bit more common than Sheik. King Dedede is rare.
Wow, Ike that's is rare. That's like, that's deep. That is a deep roster there.
And any of the retailers' specific ones, you will not get. Rosalina. Oh, I didn't tell you the other part of this story. So the Toys R Us exclusive Lucario came out on this past Friday to Toys R Us. So Toys R Us, they weren't taking pre-orders, doing anything like that. The store opened at 9 a.m. I go to a Toys R Us at 8:15 a.m. There's a line of about 50 people who have been there wow. since 6 in the morning, and they already had given out tickets to for the 25 they got in line, and those people had them. Everyone else was just waiting to see if they had like Sheiks or Toon Links in line, and that was the point where I was like, fuck this. I don't even care if that thing's worth $100. I might as well work for 4 hours rather than wait in this line and buy it from a scalper.
Well, I'm going dude, I'm like...
to buy the European Sheik and be done with it. And I mean, the European and Japanese... So you can also import the Japanese versions, which some of them aren't as rare. They're made in the same factory, and none of the figures are region-locked. If it was out of the box, even down to the writing underneath it, you wouldn't be able to tell anything that they're different. It's just the packaging...
Hold on. Yeah, the packaging's got to be different.
Well, the packaging in Japan has some Japanese writing on it. The European packaging... is very just slightly different. It in the top right corner in the North American, it just says 6+.
L Bowser.
In the European, it says the name and the number character they are. So I don't know.
How many of these things do you own?
I have 4 right now.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I don't
so
know
I don't
you're...
have a lot. I'm just. I've
yeah.
Just
why are you talking
it,
shit? I own 3. Actually, I own 4. I'm waiting for my Toon Link. Like what the level of investment that you're that I think you have while you're telling these stories here.
Well, this is what I'm saying though. Had I had the chance to buy any of those characters this week or last week, I would have. I even went today again to the store to check. You cannot get a King Dedede, a Shulk, a Rosalina, a Lucario. I don't know. Might be from Fire Emblem. But it's just, I would probably. Just, and I'm not even saying I want to scalp it. I just kind of would like to have a rare character in my collection.
See, I have the exact opposite approach to my collection. I only want
your favorite characters.
My favorite, yeah.
Yeah,
I was. I mean, I probably wouldn't even have gotten into it. Chad, during our Secret Santa, he got me Fox and Samus, and I was just like, okay, this could be the beginning of something awesome. And so I went and grabbed Mario. You can't have a Nintendo collection without a Mario figure. And then I have Toon Link that I ordered off Amazon.
Buddy, when you see the Toon Link detail, you're going to shit your pants. It is amazing. I have this this figure I bought at a comic book convention. It's a Japanese Toon Link toy. It's about the size of an amiibo, and I paid $40 for it. It does not look half as good as the amiibo detail. I kid you not. Awesome. And I have that sealed in its package, too. And I'm just thinking, like, this is garbage now. My Toon Link amiibo was $15. The other thing I'm most excited for is the Wave 4 characters. There's a Ness and a Charizard. And, like, I played Earthbound a long time ago. I was a huge fan of that. Never again are you going to get a chance to have a Ness figure.
Right.
And I think a lot of people know that, and I don't think they're going to make enough of them. And it's just like...
Dude, just go buy it on Amazon right now.
You can't. The second the pre-orders went up on Amazon for that, they sell out in 2 minutes. Instantly. I'm on the message forums, and the guy posts it, and 60 seconds later, they're all gone. Same with Toon Links and everything in stock now. I mean, now they're starting to come out in stores. A bit easier to get. Anyway, I've gone on a rant about this, but yeah, that's just kind of what I've been going through the last couple weeks with it.
What you've been up to?
Basically, where I'm at with it now is I want my favorite characters. When the next ones come out, all I want is a Charizard and a Ness, and I'm going to call it quits. I'm trying to maybe buy a rare character now so I could trade him for a Ness if I'm not able to get one when they come out.
Mm.
But I love these things. The detail's great. I just want to have about six of my favorites, and that's that.
Is it confirmed that you can still use them while they're still in the package? Like, can you get it close enough to the Wii
Pro
controller? No?
No.
Well, I gotta tell you, I've never, ever kept an item in the box before these.
Yeah.
And
the packaging is beautiful.
I know. I'm so mad of everything that I own that I've already opened up. I mean, Legos are one thing. Legos, you want to put them together. You want to display the actual ship.
Yeah.
But, like, my little Funko vinyl Star Wars figurines, like, I am so fucking pissed that those are not in the package right now.
Oh, I got a side quest pro tip on how to display those. Open them up out of the package and tilt the package to the right where it shows the character on the side and put the character in front of it. And you line them up on your shelf that way. It looks amazing. Hey,
do you want to know where my packages are?
Garbage.
The trash. Immediately. Yeah,
you fucked immediate up trash. On that.
You know what they don't even have? They don't even have the pedestal. I threw the pedestals out.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I don't know. Man.
Well, it's all right. You got your amiibo sealed and keep them that way.
Yeah, I'm keeping them sealed.
Like, some of the people in the forums are saying they collect them, but they use their mains, like their main characters they use in Super Smash Bros. They have an additional one of that for that reason. I mean,
well, wait a minute.
I don't
can
play
just...
that game, so I don't know.
Okay, they do work. Like, each amiibo is different, right? It interacts with the games differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think Super Smash Bros. Has the best functionality, and from what I understand, that isn't so good either. I mean, it's essentially a bot you can level up, right?
If they can make these things memory cards, which is what I think they're trying to do with, like, the traits or, like, whatever weapons you unlock or special abilities you unlock in Smash Bros., you bring your amiibo to your friend's house, right? And then...
It won't work that way, though, because the data, it's just an NFR chip, which is cheap enough. An NFR chip costs, like, 5 cents to make. They use them in, like, bus passes to reopen doors and stuff like that. That's how cheap these things are. So any of the saved data is on your console. It can't be transmitted back to the chip.
See, and that's the problem, man. It's so good. It's so good. It's so close to being there.
It's the packaging and the figure that I like the most. Like, forget the functionality.
Yeah, you're right.
The Charizard, dude, it just looks so good. Like, to have that toy for $15, I mean, fuck, that's nothing. That's, like, don't eat lunch a couple times a week, and you've got two or three amiibos at the end of it, you know?
How have they not capitalized on Pokemon, like a full-on Pokemon, just wild amiibo madness?
I don't know. Maybe we'll see that with a Pokemon game. I mean,
you can literally collect them all. Motherfuckers.
That would be too much. Retail's like, the Amiibo thing is just causing everyone such anxiety. And like, you know, with the retailer specific, what they did this time around for making four Amiibos retailer specific to four different locations and making them limited. If you're trying to collect every Amiibo, which isn't that hard. I mean, you can have them all when it's all said and done for about $400 spread out over 7 months. I mean, if you collect toys and you want a lot of Nintendo toys, that's not a bad investment. Really.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the fact that they're doing that to those people, those guys are going to have to be racing all over the city on different days when they come out. There's no hard release date, so you have to constantly be calling the stores like, when is your shipment coming in? Don't know when it's coming in. It's a mess. And why isn't Nintendo making enough of these?
Dude, why are you asking that? It's rare. They want them to be rare.
There's too many rare ones. Is the problem.
Maybe you're just not invested enough.
Dude, if you've been looking, it's crazy out there.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm envious. I'm more or less done. I got my Sheik coming in from Europe, and you know what? If I have to pay $50 for this Nest and get the Japanese one, so be it. I'll have the Nest and I'll sleep at night. The Nest.
Right.
What
else you got, Doug? Any more Nintendo?
I got the discontinuation of Club Nintendo.
And that's never really bothered me on that.
No, you never bothered to register or anything?
Never invested. I think I got like a free game when I bought my Wii U. Yeah. It gave me like $3 or something. I don't know. I was never into it.
The biggest ticket prize I ever got was that shirt that I gave you. But I always liked looking at what they had in stock and just kind of, I always thought that was cool. Like when they re-released the actual Game & Watch.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty awesome. Anyway, this time around, they did put up some cool stuff to bow out of it. I was trolling you guys for the points for a while. I wanted to get to elite status, which I did. Thank you. And it remains to be seen what reward that will be this year, but 1 year for elite status, I got a Majora's Mask soundtrack, which was pretty cool.
That's dope.
With my rewards this year, I only had 700, so 800 was the Majora's Mask jigsaw puzzle, which I was not able to purchase. I had to get the it's a piece of shit. I'm gonna do an unboxing video when it comes in the mail in like 3 months, which is how long it takes. It's just a basically a terry cloth Zelda, they're calling it a 3DS pouch, but it's just a drawstring bag with like a Triforce on it. And
that's all right, man. We can use that when we go hiking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna put it in the display case and put whatever little Zelda trinket fits in there in it, and that'll be that.
Fair enough.
So, bon voyage, Club Nintendo, and hopefully something else cool comes out.
Bob Digi, Sun Z, Peace on. Two on the road on this. 12 o'clock. I love my brother to death, you know. Hip hop, Catfish, Hot Bitch, you know. Big Tits.
Okay, moving along. I wanted to talk about Spider-Man a little bit. I'm sure you've heard, Doug.
I have heard.
This whole Spider-Man thing has gone through, and you know, I thought I would like this. I thought like when I knew it was impossible, it was really appealing. But now that it's happening, I kind of feel shitty about it. Like I don't know if I like it. You know, like the whole MCU thing was this big exclusive, you know, plan that they were thinking out, and like I was really impressed by how well they integrated and how much they took their time to like build the world before they even, you know, put you in the Avengers and introduce like the cosmic end of it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I mean, I like that the rumor is like Civil War is getting a facelift to include Spider-Man.
I did hear that. Yeah, that's the rumored first appearance, right?
Which is pretty awesome, but I really trusted like the production team behind these Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I have no faith in the Sony what they've done with Spider-Man. And what they're saying is that Sony will still very much have creative control of, and final say on scripts and whatnot.
Well, it's not going to be, they've said it's not going to be Andrew Garfield, right? They haven't said who it'll be, but it's just not him.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like it was this tight little thing, and now you're opening it up to like, in that Spider-Man movie, the one that Sony's making, is that going to be connected now? And, you know, it was the whole episodic feel that you got with the MCU that I liked. But
it does really seem like it was, I don't know, it's just kind of, why would they do that? To expand on the fan base, maybe? Try and get some people who like Spider-Man over there? I feel like the same people watch both those movies already.
The benefits are obvious for both teams. I mean, Spider-Man belongs with the Avengers. It's with licensing and whatnot, they couldn't make it happen, but now they can, which is kind of cool. But, what was I going to say? I actually do have higher standards for Spider-Man. You know, like I really like the Sam Raimi stuff. I mean, it was a little cheesy, but
I like them a lot.
I kind of like that Spider-Man had its own universe, and they could tell this, like, you know, that, like, they could really stretch out different stories, and he got enough time on screen to do the whole Spider-Man thing. Like, if they, you know, like, I don't want an Iron Man 2 of Spider-Man where it's just used as a stopgap to introduce new characters and to move a story. Like, I want my own Spider-Man story. But I mean, it's we're definitely better off than we were, you know, like a week ago, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I don't know. It does seem weird. Like, there's already, screen time is pretty limited, you know, in a movie like, I'm drawing a blank here.
Yep.
Infinity Quest 1 or whatever. What's the...
Infinity War?
Yeah, Infinity War 1. But, I don't know, it will be cool to have Spider-Man in that.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man could easily replace Thor if Thor dies, or,
yeah,
you know...
you're wanting that death, eh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
It would be nice.
I gotta know that it's worth something.
Yeah.
You know, that I want to be afraid.
Yeah,
you know,
fear.
Some big shit has to go down, or else I don't care, you know? No, they're
what
all going to live through
it. What were your thoughts on the Ant-Man trailer?
Very serious.
Yeah.
I think they could easily just make it a comedy, and everyone would be fine with it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what they did with Guardians. Guardians was like, the trailer was four laughs. It was like the funny bits in the movie is what they put in the trailer. That seemed to work out just fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't want to dive into it. Or I guess I already have. But I don't want to get into it too much. And it sounds like complaining. Well, it is complaining. But now that it's here, I'm not so pleased with it, I guess. I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah,
you know, they're gonna have to rush.
Really go either way. I'm not that, like, I wasn't excited when I read it, I guess.
Yeah, you know, with, let's say for example the Star Wars movies, even the spinoffs. Every time I hear something, I'm like, wow, like they've got Oscar nominated people. Like, the new, they announced there. It was a rumor that. The main contender for the first spinoff is that Felicity Jones, her name is. She was in Theory of Everything.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, and it's like, that's your lead. She's Oscar nominated actress. Like, the guy they have is the guy who did Chronicle. He's also doing Fantastic Four now. So it's like, okay, they got like a good sci-fi director in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kathleen Kennedy is producing. So it's like, that's a solid, like, crew. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And with the Marvel movies, I've always ignored that. It's like, you got Robert Downey Jr. That's all you really need to make Avengers. And
but they have
obviously
had
Joss
a
Whedon.
Solid crew.
I don't know about that. Like, two different directors for the Iron Man franchise, two different directors for the Thor franchise, two different sets of directors for Cap. Like, they... It's
it
just,
seems well thought out, at the least. Like, they don't just throw together a team like a lot of big movies like that do.
Of course they do. I mean, Edgar Wright quit. They got somebody else.
Well, yeah, but what else could they do?
it seems like now they've really gotten into the world building where, you know, like the Russo brothers who did Cap 3 have a huge hand in Civil War and Infinity War. So it's like you have teams of people who are going to grow with the actors and whatnot, which is cool.
It's crazy that Whedon isn't doing those two movies.
That almost gets me more psyched for Avengers 2. Yeah. I think that movie is going to be a shock how good it is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I have high expectations, not just for a thrill ride, but for like a deep Empire Strikes Back of the Avengers trilogy. You know what I mean? Like, I think obviously what they have to set up can't get resolved for another 3 years. They've got different, like whatever they set up here has to have an effect on Civil War, which is huge. Like Ragnarok is another huge movie. Like the end of the Thor trilogy. Like,
yeah,
I'm really excited for Phase 3, and maybe that's why I'm anxious about Spider-Man butting in. You know, like I don't think he has a place in anywhere except for Civil War and then maybe Infinity War, which maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe they won't keep him around for other stuff.
Yeah, that would be cool. We'll see.
Yeah, that actually gets us to our feedback. I'm ready to jump into feedback if you want. Okay. The best place to leave feedback is either on Facebook, and it's the same as the All Range Mode podcast, facebook.com/allrangemodepodcast. You can leave us instant messages, private messages, or post on the Facebook. Another thing you can do is go to allrangemode.com and just leave notes in the show thread as you're listening. You know, drop us a line and let us know what you want to hear about in the next episode, or, you know, let us know if you disagree with whatever you're hearing now. Best place to do that is on allrangemode.com. So, I've got three questions, feedback here. Doug, I don't know what you've got, but let's just jump into mine here.
Cool.
This one's from Fano. Hey guys, what's going on? Congrats on SideQuest. You two seem to be blindly in love with anything Marvel is doing with their MCU. Obviously, these are not the best movies ever or perfect by any means. What I'm wondering is, what are some of the top missteps you think Marvel might have taken in their universe? And what would you have liked to have seen them do differently?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. Thanks, Fano, for the question. I suppose I'll start. I mean, yeah, that's something that we were just mentioning. These aren't perfect, you know. I mentioned it in my Captain America review that I don't even weigh Marvel movies against movies outside of the Marvel universe. Like, I'm not going to compare Cap 2 with fucking Inception.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, anything with Interstellar, like Guardians to Interstellar. Like, I compare them to, you know, what I lean on my expectations a little bit, and just like, it's a Marvel movie. So yeah, they're not perfect.
No, they're great popcorn flicks. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really all I expect out of them, but I'm usually entertained, and I feel like more often than not, I've been pleasantly surprised, I guess. I don't go in with the highest expectations, and I guess that's why I am or appear to be such a big fan of it.
Yeah, that's really the only way to do it.
Maybe why I'm always talking about it.
Like, I don't own any of these movies on Blu-ray. Like, they're not.
Nor do I.
They're not like masterpieces, right? Like, I'll get like a fucking Moneyball or Life of Pi on Blu-ray, mm-hmm. Or you know, something that I think is like good to put on during a party. But I mean, yeah, I'm a huge fan of what they're doing. I mean, I grew up liking comics, and that's just the next step. But as far as the quality of the movies, they're very much, are they worth $10? Absolutely, every single time. Like, even the hype of the world building just further increases the value of the $10 I spend. Like, and I'm gonna get a preview for the next one, or like some after credits scene that, you know, I can just talk about it with you and get excited about it. As far as what I would have done differently, I mean, Thor 2 was a mess, but I don't want to dig into that. I think primarily I might have handled Iron Man a little bit differently. Like, his internal struggle kind of ended, or never really existed.
Yeah.
He's always been suave and okay. I mean, he struggled with a little bit of alcoholism in the sequel, but
it was not really an issue. Like, you didn't really feel for it, though.
No, not at all. It never had any negative repercussions. I mean, he fought with War Machine, and then they were together, like, what, 5 minutes later on screen? You know, like,
yeah. And the third one, there was all this hype that it was supposed to be the darkest, you know, of the MCU movies to date, and et cetera, et cetera. And it was, I don't know, it was better than the second one, but it was, I didn't think it was dark at all.
No, it was definitely better than the second one. What I liked in Iron Man 3 was that, you know, in Avengers, again, it's the whole world building thing. I get to take pieces of the other movies and, you know, implant them wherever I'd like. In Avengers, you know, Cap kept getting on Iron Man's case about, you know, you're just a guy in a suit. And that's pretty much like what he was fighting against in Iron Man 3 was, you know, it wasn't just the suit that's the superhero. It's Tony Stark and what he can do with it and, you know, what kind of technology he's going to put together and how he can fucking, you know, stand alone even without the suit. So I kind of like that. I mean, I'm supposed to be talking about what I don't like. I don't know. I mean, I'm super happy with what they've offered. Because you and I both have gated expectations, it seems easy to just take it for what it's worth and soak in all the good.
Yeah. I mean, I can say I'm not really that excited for Ant-Man, but I'm definitely going to see it opening weekend and just see what happens.
Yeah.
I'll call it shit if it's shit, but I'm going to check it out.
Right. Nothing you wish they would have done differently?
Oh, I mean, what would I... let me think of the... I guess just to make it kind of broad, like, maybe have had just as good of plans with, you know, consistencies with directors for the trilogies of each character and had a tighter team, I think would have made the movies a bit better because they definitely feel like different movies from Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, I think is a perfect example. All those movies feel pretty different.
A lot of them swap out actors, too.
Yeah, and I think that's the director. So, I mean, I guess it would have been nice to have all those movies as a lot tighter feeling.
Yeah, they're as tight as they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that first run, you know, you would get hints like, "Oh my God, he's talking about Captain America."
Yeah,
it's like that's really all you'd get in them. I think it's going to be a lot more connected moving forward, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. This question's from Rob. Doug, really happy to hear you're going to be a regular on the SideQuest podcast. I miss you on the regular show. What led to your departure on the regular All Rangeable podcast, and what do you miss most about it?
Oh, nice. My departure was moving. I moved to Toronto, so I don't live in Windsor anymore, and I can't meet with everyone on a weekly basis. what do I miss most about it? I just miss being on the show a lot. I miss hanging out with everybody and talking about games and getting in arguments and just fucking having at it. I know that's kind of a broad answer, but that's the truth. Yeah, I just miss being on the show. So I'm excited for SideQuest. Happy to be talking about amiibos and games and stuff again. I like the smaller scale aspect, too, that there aren't as many to oppose certain topics.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't like mention the idea of the SideQuest is... whatever we can't fit in on the show or whatever Doug wants to talk about, whatever I feel like talking about, we'll just meet as often as we want and talk about it.
Yeah.
And we hope everyone enjoys the you know, the supplemental material to the All Arrangement Podcast. I have one more question here from Chad. Joe and Doug, whatever happened to the Captain America commentary track? As a fan of the regular show, I am really looking forward to. I was really looking forward to it. What gives?
Well, we recorded it. We tried it the first time. We had some technical issues, and the episode didn't save. And the second time, we just didn't. We weren't too happy with the end result.
Yeah, I feel like that's on me. On paper, the idea is, well, I mean, I had the final cut, and all we did was upload it, but I don't know, I just, for our first episode, I didn't want to, I don't know, alienate anybody, because one thing that we got into trouble with was, I felt like we were both really quiet on our microphones, like, okay, well, I mean, I also like this part of the movie, and it's really funny, mostly because, I mean, my wife was asleep. Sir Sarah was asleep, and it just wasn't. It just wasn't very entertaining. So I mean, it was fun to record. It was fun to talk to you on the phone throughout the entire runtime of Captain America, Captain America: The Winter Soldier. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I had a good time.
But who knows? Maybe we'll go back to the commentary track idea. But yeah, you hit it. Right,
I mean, that was the original idea, even for All Range Mode. So. It's been years in the making. It's just trying to find the perfect formula for once we do get it out to you.
We'd probably have to spend some money on hardware.
See, and I'd be okay with that. I don't even know what that would be. What kind of thing can do that? Anyway.
Yeah. Well, this is good for now. I suppose we'll wrap it up. Again, hope you enjoyed the show. Anything that you want to hear us talk about, obviously comment on the message thread, but immediately beneath the show heading. And we'll try and keep getting these out to you as often as we want to, I suppose.
Yeah, let us know what you hated about it, what you liked about it. I'm going to keep throwing up the unboxing videos. You know, any toys you want to see unboxed, comment on there. I'll get them. I'll make it happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I expect the runtime will get shorter and shorter as we're doing these more often. Like, I'm soaking up this, you know, ketchup here. It's like, I just want to keep talking. I honestly don't want to end the show. But, I mean, it's running pretty long. So, I guess with that, thanks for listening. And you'll hear from us soon. It's been a pleasure. My name is Joe.
And my name is Doug. I'm out.
Mode.